Love with the entire Word of God. As we looked there in chapter 1 last week, you know, it very clearly speaks to us about how the gospel creates a beautiful fellowship. Never think about that. The only reason you're here in church this morning, really, the saving grace of Jesus Christ in your life, and you enjoy the family life and the church life, and I know you love each other because of all the love and the chatter and that goes on, and the picking that goes on, and the talking that goes on. You love each other, don't you? Yeah. And so we need the fellowship. We need the family of God. And it's that love in our hearts then that just spills out over for each other, and we take our lives then out into a lost world for Jesus Christ, and to bring more in, to bring more into the saving grace of God. It's not first and foremost about getting them into the church. Invite them to church. But you take the gospel out to them. Get them saved. By the grace of God, get them in here. Bring them into church anyway. You work it all. Because you're a Christian, you're a soldier of the Lord, they don't have to wait and come and hear the preacher. Okay? Give them the gospel, right? You can do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know enough of the Word. You have the Spirit of God. You know John 3:16. How many know John 3:16? Yeah, you got it. That's all you need. And the Spirit of God will just take you. So when you ask the Lord for more love in your heart, you're going to get a love for Jesus, a love for lost souls. You're going to have love for forgiveness, stronger faith. It is just right there, because it's just Jesus' love in your heart. So this purpose of this fellowship called the church, this society of redeemed for helping and loving and encouraging and just guiding and being there for one another. Okay, praying for each other. So, and then we show forth to a culture that needs Christ. So now, where we are in chapter 2, for this fellowship, and then we're all part of it. For us to live a godly, successful, if I may use that word, I was trying to stay away from it, but it's a good word to use in this, within the fellowship, and to live obedience, for us to grow in Christ, there must be a pattern. We don't grow as a Christian by how we think and what we think the next step is, and or by our own mindset of what a Christian is. And we don't do this by thinking about ourselves and with ourselves and for ourselves. And we have a pattern to follow. And His name is Jesus Christ. Now, there are still some, you know, as you read obituaries, and there are still, it still comes up with some of the older ones that have passed. They worked at a dress factory here and a dress factory there. Would you know, you remember how when dresses used to be, when they were made, they were made according to a paper pattern, right? A paper pattern. And sometimes if you had someone in the family that could sew or what have you, you know, the little girl, she would cut out a paper pattern of a dress for her dolly. And mom or grandma or somebody would make the little dress. Okay, we come by a pattern. There's a pattern you follow. And even with all the little, sometimes the little trinkets we wear, all the way up to large industrial pieces of equipment and machinery, a lot of these things, you know, they're made by pouring hot metal plastics into a mold, correct? How many did some of this in shop class in school? You have something around somewhere that you made back then. Look, be it that it looks nice or it looks horrible, I made it. Okay, you know, it's made to a mold. And still you remember whenever somebody was carrying the hot metal over to the mold, it was like, somebody was designed to yell out, "Hot metal!" And everybody stood still till the metal got to where it was to be. All right, the mold, the pattern. And so we are here. And so genuine biblical Christians who cannot pattern yourself. Too many times people pattern after other people. Now, that's not totally bad if the person is good, that it inspires you onward, but that's not at all where you can stop. The pattern. We're speaking here, when we read this, our text today, we're talking spiritual. We're talking intangible. We are talking growing in the knowledge and the wisdom and the likeness of one whom you and I have never seen. We haven't had the blessed privilege as the disciples did. But even more, we are blessed and empowered and helped because we now have the Word, we have the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us. This which is spiritual. So in order to produce this kind of society, which Paul is just blessing the Philippian church for, he says there has to be this pattern, and this pattern is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in Jesus we live and we move. So when you also this week, as you ask Christ for more of his love in your heart, and you'll find then too that your love will increase for him, your love will increase for the Word, your love just grows. And it took me many, many years to understand that, and how powerful that is. Right down in the nitty-gritty of your relationships in family, friends, in life, when love for the Lord is ruling your heart, it makes all the difference. All the difference. The likeness of Christ, a pattern. Man has tried to clone animals, and even try to clone people, but they'll never get it accomplished in total identification. They will never get it accomplished. Remember back in the awful days of our history and things that had happened, and this one world leader tried to clone so he could fill the world and conquer the world. And he bred people like animals. And we are directed here in chapter 2, follow our Creator. We're not speaking of cloning here, cloning to be like Christ. It's his Spirit living within us to grow us, that we may pattern our lives after him, more like the Master I would long to ever be, more of his saving fullness see. To be filled with the fullness of God is to be filled with his love, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering, his meekness, his kindness, his gentleness, a passion to live and pursue what is right and true and holy and just and of good report. And as we find in chapter 3, these are the things that we think on. Chapter 4, we think on. And the Lord Jesus. So you need a pattern. From one pattern, thousands of dresses were made. So you need a pattern that is consistent. You need a pattern that is good. A pattern such as that will really control the features and the characteristic of an individual. The pattern. In chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Church, having the same love, being of one accord, be of one mind. Let nothing be done through deceit, selfish ambition, or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem the other as better than themselves. Let each of you look not out only for your own needs, but also for the interests of others. And then comes this most powerful. He said, now he's going to tell you, here's how you're going to do this. Here's how you're going to succeed in fulfilling the commands here in chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. He says, to do this, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who? Now he's talking about his mind. This is why he did this. Who? Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance, fashioned, so to say, as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He's your pattern. I just now thought there was another song we used to sing in the church. And the phrase in there says, the pattern and example is he. The pattern and the example is he. He is my pattern. He is my example. Let this mind be in you, this mind. And so we got to understand that when we are growing as a Christian, the earthly cannot produce the heavenly in you. The earthly cannot produce the heavenly in you. No matter how good, no matter how upstanding any person may be in your life, his example is inspiring. But only Christ can establish in you that which is just and true and right in the mind that we need to have in our fallen nature. In Christ, the pattern. You know, you cannot fix any internal need that you have by anything external out here. The internal needs cannot be fixed by external means. Your internal needs are fixed and taken care of by an internal work of the Spirit of God. And that just begins with sorry. You know I don't yell at my wife in the morning, because all this would be cleared out. I used to yell at the cows. All right. Anyway, coming back. You cannot do anything for your salvation out here. Christ is the one who saves you, so your internal need for salvation is fixed, is given to you, is established by an internal work that comes from Jesus Christ by His Spirit sent by the Father. It's just where it is. And as you grow in the Lord, you grow in Him. You cannot fix internal faults and failures and weaknesses by anything out here. Now you can do some things and take some measures that'll help you in that direction. And you certainly do those measures and you stay away what you're supposed to stay away from, and you cut out of your life what you're supposed to cut out. As Christ works in your heart, it's an internal. So you have to engage. You and I have to engage with Christ. And this is why the word mind is used. This word mind here is actually in a verb form. Let this mind. So this, like this mindset, this mind that you exercise for Christ every day. It is in the mind that Satan attacks you. It is in the mind that the flesh wants to persuade you. It is the mind. That's why in 1 Timothy 6, you're to put on the helmet of salvation every day. Because Satan attacks in the mind. So he says, you set your mind on things above. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This mind. And even in Matthew 16 and 23, mind and mindful. You remember whenever Peter, when Jesus was asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Elisha, one of the prophets come back to life and what have you. And Jesus asks Peter, he says, "Well, Peter, who do you say that I am?" "Oh, Master, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're Jesus. You're the Lord." And he said, "Well, blessed are you, Simon, that you would say that. Upon this rock I will build my church." And then Jesus goes on in this discussion, and he begins to tell them immediately how he's going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus pulls him aside, Peter pulls him aside. He says, "How dare you? That will not happen to you, Jesus. You will not die on the cross of Calvary. You will not. You're going to be here." And Jesus looks at Peter. He says, "You get behind me, Satan, because you do not mind the things of God, but you are mindful of the things of men. You are earthly minded, Peter, and not heavenly minded. For the only way for Christ to fulfill his Father's mission for the redemption of you and I, he had to set his mind that he would obey the Father in all matters. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind..." So he really rebuked Peter. And in one moment, Peter's like, "Hey, I got the right answer, boys." And in the next moment, he was humbled low by his master. So the question is, Christian, how mindful of Christ and his kingdom are you? How earthly minded are you still? Earthly mindedness is what all of us, we have to battle that. We have to battle it all. And so this, let this mind be in you. You could translate it by saying, "Is let this mind be in you." Maintain the same attitude, the same content of mind among your own minds as was in the mind of Christ. Maintain it. And as Joyce Myers would often say, and I think she probably still says it, you know, you got to change your stinking thinking. Because anything less than Christ and his kingdom and his truth is stinking. So he says, let this mind be in you. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. You're exercising the mind. You're thinking through. You're making your choices. And you've got to make these choices up here before they ever come down here. Because once they come down here, you know, the Word of God tells us, once it's in your heart, you're going to flesh it out. You're going to give birth to it. So here's what the battle is. Let this mind be in you. So mind here is the declares, let this mind be in you. It is the total content of thought that you bring to exercise in your life that shapes your character, that shapes who you are. Paul tells us, exercise your mind toward godliness. The mind, being mindful of the things of God. So let this mind be in you. You could call it just, it's the outworking. So what is the word outworking? You know, work out your salvation, Paul says. So what is this outworking? It's the action. It's the process that's taking place up here. As the Spirit of God is working in your heart and your life and engaging in those moments, no matter what it is, you may be battling really something hard and really something strong that's coming against you. The flesh is screaming at you. You're rebelling. You're rebuking. Something's going on. And your mind is going right up here. And you just go ballistic up here in the battle between doing what is right and trying to see through on this thing and by the Spirit of God exercising faith. You always, when you're choosing right and you're choosing good, you're always exercising your faith toward what is of the Lord. So this outworking, so it is the process by which something comes to completion. It comes to completion. And these little completions come one at a time. And they stack a little here, a little there, line upon line. Victory upon victory. And in there, there's little skirmishes where you fail the Lord. And you confess that. You keep growing. And this is our life the whole way through. But we grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of God so that as the whole church, one by one, and as a body, we come into more and more the fullness of the stature of Christ. It's just likeness. And it doesn't come without engaging in the battles of life between good and evil that go on in your heart and mind. The mind, exercising the mind. And so this mind, and as I made reference a moment ago to Matthew 16, and in mind, it gets the same Greek word. Here the word is phroneo, and it says to exercise your mind. Peter, you're not mindful of the things of God as much as you think you are. So it is mindful of the opinions, the directives, the attitude, everything that you see in Christ. He is your pattern. He's your pattern. Christianity isn't about, you know, getting this fire insurance thing so I don't go to hell, and then I'll even join the church and I'll go. And once in a while, for something that really, you know, fancies me, I might be a part. No, because it is all of Christ. You're all in. It's like baptisms as are coming up here in the middle of March. When you give your heart to Christ and you're truly a Christian, you're truly were born again, you're all in. Just as you walk down into those waters, you're buried with Christ. And the old life is down there. It stays down there in that watery grave. As he rises, you rise up in the newness of life in his resurrection, and you walk out of the baptismal pool or the creek or the water or the lake or whatever it is you're baptized, and you walk onward to serve Christ. And now he talks about salvation in chapter 1. And here now you're growing. You want to grow. Because next week, Lord willing, we'll be in chapter 3 about the power of Christ, about growing in him. Well, here's, if you're going to succeed in chapter 3, you got to be following that pattern in chapter 2. The pattern, Christ before me, always. And don't we wish it was easy? But it's not. We can't do spiritual things by the arm of the flesh. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when we take our fears that conquer us, fear rules when faith is weak. The exercise of faith, which faith is such a powerful word. It takes faith to have faith, doesn't it? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ conquers the fears, and you move outward with him. And yet, this is not that easy. That's why, as Teresa led us this morning, we keep immersing in the Word. We pray about our weakness. We pray about our fears. Lord, increase my faith. Increase that I may know you and serve you. Increase so that I am not fearful of this. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my love. And so we fight the good fight of faith. We pursue moral righteousness. We pursue to serve the Lord by faith. Everything you do in growing in your Christian life is by faith, by grace. And you're engaging in this with the Lord. You're engaging in it right up there, that you may serve the Lord and grow in him. Because whatever you come to a settlement up here will then settle down here. So if you settle on what is right and true up here, and it comes down here, that's where you're going to be. Because then that changes what comes out of here. But if you settle on what is not right, you choose what is not good, you choose up here, you say, well, here I go. And it settles down here. Whatever settles in here in the heart, because that's the issue, it's the seat of life. Pressing on in the Lord to set the mind. He says, let this mind, from verse number 5, set your mind. Colossians, set your mind on things above, chapter 3. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind. Set to exercise your mind on things that are right and true. You're in a whole different person now. God has regenerated you. You now are the kingdom of God. So the response here that you have to the Lord, his humiliation. You know, when Jesus came, he was still deity. He was still deity. He laid aside his badge for a while to exercise all that he was as the Son of God, and he had to grow. And it's a mysterious thing. But he's still deity. He's still God, very God, although he's man, very man. Inseparable. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this, what we find here in chapters 4, or chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it wasn't meant to be primarily some established for doctrinal discussions and arguments. This is the word of God that is given to us to be taken literally, is to be taken into our hearts and received, and thereby God changes us. God gave us this scripture to tell us about his Son and who he was. He became human. Paul views the actions of Jesus as very human, very holy. He as he knows Christ, yeah, this man is very human, but he's very God. So we see here in Christ as to be our pattern, our example. When people see us, they don't know us, they don't see us, we don't look any different than any other person. Anybody met Jesus, you know, he didn't have his holy halo around him, but he looks just like another person. That's why the leader says, what do you mean? What do you mean he says he's the Son of God? He was born, he came out of Nazareth, and we know his parents. What do you think you're doing? Who does he say that he is? And how does he know and preach these things and say these things? And the people said, would you just listen to him? Because he speaks and he preaches like no man ever has. We've experienced him. The disciple says, we handled him, we touched him, we experienced him, and we know that he is far, far more than just a mere man. This is God in the flesh. As you grow in him, as you know him, and we find that the word likeness here, for made in the likeness of man, it refers only to his human form. He was very human looking. He was God in the flesh, the Lord. He looked like everybody else. He did life like everybody else without sin. Meaning he had to bathe, he had to eat, he had to sleep. He sweated. And in the shop, he pounded his fingers and he bled and he patched up. As he ran his drill presses and his big mechanical saws and things happened, which he did not have. He was just like any other person. And he experienced all these things. He experienced everything in life, is what it says in the Word in Hebrews. He experienced everything that you and I experience. Everything. Everything. Without sin. Therefore, he is able to help us. He was victorious in all matters. And all this happening in his life, as he continually, just like you and I, had to exercise his mind. His mind. And we see this so powerful at the beginning of his ministry there in the wilderness as Satan continued to pound him and tempt him, and the body screaming at him, hungering and thirst, and this being in connection with the temptations of Satan. And yet in this, he served his Father God, remaining true and not succumbing to Satan and not unto his flesh. And then onward all through the ministry. And then we find his faithfulness unto God. And that's why on Calvary's cross, the blood that he shed, pure, just, holy, spotless, the Lamb of God paying for our sins. And this is he whom we follow, the Lord, his entire devotion to the will of God is what the Word is teaching us here. How are you doing with that? How devoted are you to the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ? As the psalmist says, I love your Word. I love your teaching. I love your precepts. I love your commands. Your Word, I eat them. I just feast on them. I obey them. Your Word, that was Psalm 119, by the way. Because as we love the Word of God, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Psalm 1, when you're loving the Lord and pressing on in Him, you know, you do not sit with the ungodly. You do not take your counsel from people who do not love the Word of God. You don't sit with the ugly individuals, spiritually speaking, in society, but you make your company with those of like precious faith. You go to the unlovely, the lost of society, to bring them out with the gospel. But that's not where you take your stand. That's not where you take your seat. That's not where you take your fellowship. Like-minded. The pattern of Christ. The pattern of Christ. At the end of the Civil War, you studied your history, and you know that General Sherman was quite a general for the Union. And then you find stories that history books can't take the time to bring out and won't bring out, because there's something very spiritual, something very sweet here, because there was another general by the name of General Howard. Okay? War is over. General Sherman is preparing a parade, a big parade, to go right down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington. And on the morning of the parade, he comes to General O.O. Howard. Says, General, yes, sir. I have a request of you. And he mentioned another general's name who had been before General Howard in charge of Howard's troops. I don't know why the transition. General Sherman said, this general has asked that he may lead his troops, which are now your troops, which have been your troops, in the parade. This is the request from the commanding General Sherman. This General Howard swallowed hard. As he loved these men, he fought beside these men protected him. He protected them. He lived with them. He slept. They watched. They did war together. And he says, General Sherman, at your request, and because I am a Christian, their former general may lead them in the parade. I will step aside. I will just go to the rear somewhere. General Sherman looked at General Howard in amazement. And here's what he said. You know, I really suspected you might say that. Because he's a Christian, because General Sherman knew General Howard. I suspected you may just do that with such humility. So now, General Howard, would you please ride with me at the head of the entire Union Army? He exalted him. Can you imagine how he must have felt? The one who humbles himself is exalted. God exalts the one who humbles himself. Humbles himself in the fight, in the war, in the battles of good over evil. Choosing what is good. Setting your love, your heart, your mind on Christ Jesus takes a lot of humbling. Whoever humbles himself, God will exalt, because obedience requires humility. When we do not humble ourselves before God, we will not obey His word. And when we don't obey His word, we suffer greatly. It's like a tire and that is on a car that is out of line. And when a car, the front end is out of line or the rear end is out of line, the rear tires, whatever, and it wears on the tires. You know this as well as I know this. And if the matter isn't corrected, eventually it wears down the edges of the tires or the middle of the tire, cups out the tires, and we got a mess. And if it's still not corrected, the fibers begin to show. The steel wires begin to show. And before long, when the wires are showing, and it means the rubber on the tire is getting thin, and there's going to be a blowout. And the blowout could lead to a very nasty accident, a lot of hurt. And it's all because the car was out of line, and it wasn't corrected early when it was detected. The same way it is with a person, that when we are out of line with the Word of God, we're not walking in fellowship with God's Word. We're not walking then in fellowship with the Spirit of God. If we're not walking in fellowship with the Spirit of God in here, we're not walking in fellowship and intimacy with Jesus Christ, and we're certainly not in sweetness with our Heavenly Father. And if that is not corrected and repented of, we continue on our own ways. It wears on us, it wears on us, it wears on us. And it's going to wear you down to the point that something's going to bust, something's going to break. And it's going to be a hard fall. And all in the meantime, the Lord, the Spirit of God, works in our hearts, calls to our hearts, and tries, and by His measure leading us, we exercise our own will, so we make the decision. The Lord Jesus Christ, the man who steps down from pursuing his own will in his own way is the man who follows Christ and is exalted by Christ. And this is true in every area, in every piece of fabric in your life. Not just for a few things, but in all things that you may live out. Enjoy the love of Christ, the peace of God, and you live out His plan and purpose. Oh my. One day, Christian, you will stand before the Lord. And have you lived out? Have you been successful in the outworking of the pattern of Christ in your life? And people see you, you look like just another person until they experience you. And this growing in Christ, and one day you'll stand before the Lord and you're in heaven. Have you lived well here for Jesus? Have you said no to me and yes to Christ? And all of us, not just the youth right now, but we are all young at one time. And we know the battle that it is to seek and to follow through on the Lord's will. We have our own plans. And the Lord works to live our life, or He may come to us at midlife and midstream and say, come away with me. It's time to pull out of what is now your former life that you are serving me in so beautifully. And now it's time for me. I'm exalting you to another level, another measure. Come away with me, because I am so jealous for your life, so zealous for your life. I want you to experience, I want you to know what all that I have planned and purpose for you, so that one day when you stand before me, I will bless you and you will see your reward all across heaven. That's where we are. That's what we have in Philippians chapter 2, be like-minded. For the one who humbled himself and was born in the likeness of men and humbled himself to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, is the very one who is seated on the throne of the universe. God has highly exalted his Son and given him the name that is above every name, and every knee will bow to him. So the beautiful chapter 2. Beloved, exercise your mind as Christ would when he was here. He was very human, very God. And he knows your battle. And you'll come to find that the very objective of obedience becomes a living reality of peace with God and fullness with Him as you grow. And you go. You'll take opportunities that come your way, and all of a sudden there it is, an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. And that'll just be the joy of your heart. No matter what, as the Spirit of God leads you, it's the power, it's the inworking of the gospel. It's the inward working in your life of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord willing, next week, the power. May Christ be your joy supreme. One day, you're going to see him that close. Wow. Wow. And everybody said, wow. Wow. Praise Jesus for the cross. Dear Father, all your beautiful people, God, they have sat and engaged with such attention this morning. Oh, dear Jesus, let your words be rich in their heart and mouth. May they know the joy of meditation upon your word, that the words they speak, that we all speak, will be a blessing and pleasing to you, Lord. And you just grow in the goodness and the fellowship of Jesus. Lord, in your word says, be mindful of things just as Jesus, his mind, by your grace. That's our desire, that's our prayer. Keep filling our hearts with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.